We're glad that you're here with us tonight. We appreciate your presence very much. And as this morning, we do have visitors who are here with us, and we encourage you to come back and be with us at any time you have the opportunity. As I announced this morning, what I want us to think together about tonight are some things that apply mainly to this group. If you are visiting with us and are not a part of this congregation, I don't think that this will be a terrible thing for you to hear. But at the same time, it is a lesson that will be mainly focused on Pepper Road and the members who are a part of this group and those who may be here who are thinking about becoming a part of this group. I was talking to, I ran these thoughts by both Freed and David before I got up here tonight. And as I was talking to David about them, he said, you know, it's, and I'm going to use this as an introduction because it's far better than anything I could come up with. He said, it's kind of hard to go to the doctor for a physical when you just feel really good. And that's the way I feel about the work that is going on here right now. But at the same time, what I would like to do for maybe a few minutes tonight is for us to go to the doctor, as it were, and look at those things that we need to do as a congregation to remain healthy, to remain focused on the work that is at hand and the things that we must accomplish as a congregation of God's people. The group here is going through change. Whether you're a part of this group or whether you are thinking about becoming a part of this group, if you've been here for any period of time whatsoever, you know the changes that we're going through. Over the course of just the last few months, there have been a number of new families who have placed membership with this group, and we welcome you with wholehearted enthusiasm. It's been exciting for us to see the changes that have taken place, and I think in so many cases these changes have been simply for the better, and for that I know I'm thankful, as well as all of those who are part of this congregation. But yet at the same time, as change occurs, we face new challenges. And as we face new challenges, those are things that we need to be aware of as we work together. It is crazy for us to try to continue down a path and get hit blindsided by some things that may come to pass somewhere down there. We need to think about them, and we need to be sure that we are facing the things that are at hand. As we think about that and as we consider ourselves, may each of us, whether a member of this group or someone who is considering being a member of this group, may we look at ourselves. And may we look at the work, and may we see what I can do to accomplish more in the kingdom of God. Tonight I want to focus you on a few challenges that I feel we face, and also focus you on some solutions to those challenges that I feel each of us can help to implement as members of this congregation. The first thing I want you to think with me about is the idea of unity. As I consider the challenge that lies before us, I believe that any time a congregation grows as this congregation has, it becomes very difficult, I think, for us to stay united. I believe as growth occurs, it's very easy for us to become segmented into a number of different groups. Now, those groups may break down in various ways. They may break down by age, or it may break down by different backgrounds that we have, maybe from family relationships, whatever it may be. But in some ways, it's very easy for us, I think, to begin to segment into a number of different groups. I've seen churches where that's happened, and that's not a pleasant situation. Because over the course of time, as those groups grow more distinct, and as you see those groups as they begin to segment and fragment off into different segments, what you begin to have is maybe two, three, four different congregations basically meeting under the same roof. That's not what we need here. What we need here is a united group of people. We need a group of people who are standing behind the things that are going on and are 100% committed to the work that is at hand. We never need to run into a situation where a certain group gets upset about something, and so we see a certain group upset at the rest of the group over something that's taken place. That's just not what we need. We need to be united. We need to remain as a united, solid group, and I believe we have been that. And I am not suggesting by my comments tonight that I see that going away. I see it as a challenge that may lie in front of us. As I think about the solution to that, I think there are a number of things that we can do. Number one, and this is fairly obvious, the first thing we can do is we can get to know each other. Well, it's pretty obvious how that's going to take place. The way that's going to happen is by us talking to each other and by us being associated with each other. It's going to happen by us having others in our homes. It's going to happen by us branching out a little bit, by us breaking out of maybe that familiar group that we're a part of and making sure that we include others into that group that we may have become close to, or that those few that we may be close to. It's frightening for me to think that there may be some here who are a part of this group who may not know another one who is a part of this group. I don't think that's happened, but I think it very easily could if we're not careful. One thing that I would suggest to all of us Whether we're a part of the group from long ago, or whether fairly new, or whether you're thinking about becoming a part of this group, make sure you get around and talk to others. Make sure that we are focusing on others and meeting the people who we see from time to time who are visiting with us, and making it a point to make them feel welcome. One thing that I think can be done is doing what I would describe as some of the little things. Sending a card. Maybe taking food to someone. It may be the idea of just a simple phone call that will go a long way to uniting a group together. It's been interesting to me as I've watched different ones come in that so many of the newer families are doing these things and doing them very effectively. And I want you to know that I appreciate that. That helps so much, I think, as we see those things being done. I knew of one situation where it came up that one member of the family was sick, and it was really sick. But one of the members went and took food to him. And it wasn't a normal situation where you might consider, hey, that's something I need to do. It was just one of those little things that can be done that unites a relationship and will make us feel closer together and make us feel more united. All of these go a long way in forming a tight-knit, united group. The second thing that I would suggest along these lines as we consider the idea of unity is we must maintain proper attitudes towards each other. I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 2. And those of you who have heard me speak from this pulpit over and over again have heard me read this passage over and over again. But yet at the same time, I think it's appropriate because it's so important that as we look at the attitudes that are expressed in Philippians chapter 2 in the first four verses, that we truly be people who are putting these things into place. I want you to read with me, beginning in Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, as Paul writes to the church at Philippi and gives them this admonition. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 1, he says, "Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others." I've said it before and I'm going to say it again tonight. Can you picture a congregation where every member of that group is putting that passage into place? That would be a great thing. Can you imagine how I would feel about you and how you would feel about me if you know that in everything that I do and in the actions that I take towards you and the attitudes that I express towards you, I'm putting your interest ahead of my own? That as I look at you and as I consider you, that I try to do things that are going to lift you up and build you up and be an encouragement to you? Can you imagine if all of us were doing that towards each other, the kind of relationship that would be had, and as Paul points out, the kind of unity that would be had among a group of people who are truly putting into place those things? Again, I'm not saying that we're not. I'm simply saying that as time goes on and we face the challenges that are ahead, it's going to become so vitally important that that be a part of our frame of mind, that that be a part of the attitudes that we are exhibiting towards each other. As we consider our unity together and we consider maintaining the proper attitudes, it seems to me that whether it's something as minor as a work day at the building, or whether it's something as major as perhaps even somewhere down the line having to withdraw from a brother or sister in Christ who has fallen away, we need to stand together as a united group. We need to be sure that in the things that we're doing, we do them together, and that we're all confident that we're doing the things that are right, much as we talked about this morning. And as a united team, maintaining proper attitudes, we press forward. As I consider the solution to the challenge that we will face of being united, I think one of the solutions to that is strong leadership. I stand before you tonight to say, without any shamefacedness at all, that I believe we have that. I believe that Freed Bullington and David Crowley are two of the best men that I know. And as I look at what they have done for this group over the last period of time that they have been serving as elders, it has been amazing. They have handled situations and they have dealt with us in a way that has been fair, in a way that has been solid, in a way that has been true to the Word of God. And I think in my mind that they have done everything they could have possibly done to fulfill the role that they have been given. As we consider that, that is the greatest blessing that we can imagine. To be led by two men who are godly men, who are backed up by godly wives, who have our interest at heart, and who realize the responsibility that God has placed on them as elders of a congregation such as this. And as we look ahead to the future and as we look ahead to the things that we will face from time to time, one of the things that is going to keep us together is the strong leadership that we have. But you know what? We can bring strong leadership down. And if there is a single person who is sitting here tonight who feels that they are unable to stand behind the elders that we have and who are unable to unite with the elders that we have, then you don't need to be here. Because we have to look to them for the guidance and the leadership that they have been given the responsibility to provide. We have great leaders. We need to appreciate them and we need to support them. And when they make decisions, we need to stand behind those decisions as long as they're guided by the Word of God. And if we will do that, if we will accomplish that, then we won't have any questions about where we're going or where we are. But rather, we'll be a united, solid group serving God together at this place. As I think about challenges that we will face, the second one that I think about is the idea of humility. As I think about the challenge, I think that it's possible that as a congregation, we can grow very proud of ourselves. And we can look around and we can say, wow, look at what all has happened in the last 2 or 3 years or whatever period of time. And as we look at that, we begin to get a little puffed up and we begin to feel pretty good and we think, man, we have really accomplished a lot. And there are a lot of things that have happened here. And look at the side, look at the contribution, look at the men that we support, look at all the things that we are able to accomplish in the kingdom of God. And before you know it, we can kind of stand up and stick our chest out a little bit and feel like we have really done something important. Again, I would say to you, we can't let that happen. I would say that there is nothing wrong with us being thankful to God for the group that He has given us to work with. There is nothing wrong with us being thankful for the congregation that we are a part of, and as a matter of fact, I would encourage that, and that's mentioned in our prayers, and I have no problem with that whatsoever. But at the same time, we need to be careful. I want you to turn, if you would, to Revelation chapter 3. There is a description of a church who did this and who allowed themselves, it seems to me, to grow proud. I want you to turn to Revelation chapter 3. We're going to begin reading in verse 14 and we'll read down through verse 19. This can happen. And Jesus addresses this as He writes to the church at Laodicea. In Revelation chapter 3, beginning in verse 14, Jesus says, "And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you're neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, naked. I counsel you to buy for me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent." What had happened to the church at Laodicea? They had looked around and they had seen the things that they felt like they had done. And as they saw those things, they began to feel a little puffed up about themselves. And they said, look at us. Look at the things that we're rich. We've accomplished so much. And Jesus writes to them and says, don't you know that you're poor and you're miserable and you're blind and you're naked and you're lukewarm, and even to a point that I'm ready to just spew you out of my mouth because of the arrogance and the pride that you have managed to establish in yourself as a group of people. That can happen here. That can happen to any group of people. And again, as I've said before, I'm not saying that it has. I'm warning us of the challenge that lies ahead to be sure that we maintain the proper attitude towards ourselves. What's the solution to that? A few things I would suggest. Number one, realize how much we have to do. There are souls that need to be taught. I look around this audience and I see a number of them. I see people sitting right here who are not children of God. Some of them are our young people. And what are we doing? And the question that comes on us is, what are we doing to influence them and to try to help them to see their need for Jesus Christ? We need to be developing ourselves in our knowledge and understanding of God's Word. As I look at myself, and undoubtedly I think probably as you look at yourself, you would realize that we don't give attention to that as we should. That maybe we don't spend the time studying His Word and meditating on His Word and putting into place in our lives the things that we know we ought to do. But as I consider ourselves and as we realize how much we have to do, certainly that's a very humbling thing. I know as I look at myself, and probably as you do you see weaknesses that need to be overcome. It may be a certain temptation that you have a problem with, that you're struggling with, and that you need to overcome as you work towards that goal. Maybe things in our lives that we need to change, attitudes that need to be developed or need to be put in place. And as I think about those things, if we will ever truly stand back and look at where we are and look at where we need to be, I don't think we'll have a lot of problem with pride because we'll see that there is so much left to do. There is nothing more humbling than a true self-examination. I look at the growth that we have made over the last number of years. And I want us to ask ourselves the question, how much of that growth can be attributed to the fact that there are new converts sitting in our midst tonight? Some. But on the whole, it's a small percentage compared to the growth that has been seen. That tells me something. That tells me that the growth has not come so much from us being out there finding souls that are lost and doing what we can to teach them, but rather it's come from other Christians who may have moved into the area or who may have come and decided to join themselves to us. And in a very real sense, that's not growth. The body of Christ hasn't grown because of that. They were a part of the body of Christ before they came our way. And I don't say that in any kind of a critical way, but rather may we truly look and see what we have. May we look and see where these things have come from. And may we realize that as we do a self-examination, that there's a whole lot of work left to be done. As I consider the solution to this, one of the other things I would think about is the idea of prayer. And this could go under any point that we'll talk about tonight. As I mentioned earlier, I have absolutely no question that we should be thankful to God for the group that He has given us here and the opportunity that He has given us to work together. But at the same time, we need to be asking God to help us to stay humble, to help us to keep ourselves in perspective, to help us not to allow ourselves to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. And as we do that, and as we thank God for what He has done for us, may we also ask Him to help us to keep ourselves in the right frame of mind. And then may we continue from that point on to humbly serve Him together. As I think about the challenges that we will face, the third thing that I think about is the idea of purity. When I consider the challenge that is there for us, I think that with size, and I want you to think about this, with size comes the danger of us accepting into our midst one or more who may not have the same convictions that we have. And that's a dangerous thing. Because all of us interact with each other, and it's amazing the impact that one person can have on a group. As I think about that, I want you to turn with me to the book of Galatians and go with me to chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, we're going to read a few verses that we just studied last Wednesday night. Paul is writing to this church as we have been studying, and he's writing to them, and he is addressing problems that he has heard of that are among the group and false teaching that is going on. And not only false teaching, but they're being led away by this false teaching. And I want you to listen to what he says to them as you look with me at verse 7 of chapter 5. As he's addressing this, he says to them, "You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in you in the Lord that you will have no other mind, but he who troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is." Do you hear what he said? The idea that Paul is getting at is what had affected these churches in Galatia was not a massive group swarming in on them and beginning to take them over and coming in and demanding that they begin to follow them. That wasn't the situation that had taken place. It was just a few who had come in. And Paul even goes on to say, it may be that we can't even identify exactly who those few are, I think is what he's saying. But I know one thing, he says, a little leaven is going to leaven the whole lump. And as he looks at the impact that just a few had had on the churches of Galatia, he realizes that just a few had been able to lead them away from the truth of God and cause them to turn aside and to follow after things that weren't right. I would suggest to you that the situation today is no different. As we consider ourselves, And as we consider ourselves as a group of people and we think about the idea that there will be those coming in, and it may be that someone is welcomed in among this group who does not have the same convictions that we have, that can have a devastating impact on a group like this. And it puts on us as individuals, as members of this congregation, to maintain the purity that we must have as we strive to serve God. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. A little leaven is not what this group needs. And it may be a challenge that we face in removing from ourselves somewhere down the line some leaven that has come in among the group. As I think about the solutions to that, first thing I think about is to realize that we have an impact on each other. If we come to realize how much our influence is felt and how incredibly we impact each other as we work together and as we see each other together and do things together, if we come to realize how much effect we have on each other, I think it'll help us to realize that purity must be maintained. As I think about that, and we think about the fact that as a little leaven leavens the whole lump, a way to put that in a different way is to say that one hypocrite can ruin the influence of this whole group. One can. And as we think about that, it impacts on us all the more how important it is for us to keep ourselves pure. The second thing that I would suggest on this is that we need to realize that we have made a commitment to God. We have an individual responsibility to Him because we have made a covenant with Him if we claim to be one of His children. And while my hypocrisy may go unnoticed by this group, and it may never come to impact this group, God knows. And as I consider myself and I think about the fact that I may want to be associated with a good congregation and I may want to be accepted by a good congregation and I may pull that off, but if I'm not what I ought to be, there's one who knows that. And that's God. And if you're trying to pull some kind of a sham for a life where you try to live one thing but really on the inside you're something completely different, you may make it through this life. But I guarantee you, when you stand before God in judgment, He'll know. And as we look at us, at ourselves, and we look at ourselves as a group of His people, so many times we can't keep that covered forever. And when that comes out, it not only has a devastating impact on us as an individual, but it has a devastating impact on the group that we're a part of. May we strive to maintain the purity of this group. There's another thing that I think will be involved in this, and I want to go back up to what I said at the end of chapter, or the end of our first point. And that's the idea of strong leadership. As we look into the Word of God, we see that elders have a tremendous responsibility to be watching out for our souls. As we think about the fact that we searched out from among us some time ago two men, and we placed them in the position of being shepherds over this flock, we said at that point that we were willing to submit to their rule, that we were willing to follow their leadership as long as it was from the Word of God, and I believe it has been. And they watch out for us. And they are going to have a tremendous responsibility to be maintaining purity among this group as it grows and as it develops. And may we be assisting them in their job. As we see things among us that we may know they need to know, may we be willing to tell them. I know that there's not going to be any problem going up to either one of those men and addressing something with them and asking them about something or telling them something. You're not going to be shunned away. You'll be welcomed with open arms. May we allow this congregation to work the way God has laid out that a congregation is to work. And that's with a line of communication between the congregation and between those elders that is strong, that is open, that is solid. And it's a relationship that has a close tie that cannot be broken as we stand behind them and as we work with them. Strong leadership is going to go a long way in helping us to maintain the purity that we must maintain as we strive to work together. May we appreciate their watchfulness as they realize that they're going to give an account for how they've shepherded this flock. And when they make decisions, decisions that may be tough, decisions that we may not 100% understand, but yet at the same time find ourselves having to stand behind, may we do so. May we do so in unity. May we do so in humility. May we do so striving to work together to be pleasing to God. Those are the challenges that I see that lie before us. Those are the things that as I look into the future and whatever future we may have together, those are the things that I see we are going to have to face. Whether we grow another person or not is not going to matter. We'll face this. And the question that comes to each of us is, are we willing to stand up and do what God would have us to do and be committed to Him and to be what He would have us to be? As I look at this and as I look at the things that we've talked about tonight, one of the things that I think can happen is I think it's very easy for a person to begin to feel like they're getting lost in a crowd. I think it's easy for one to feel like, well, it's just not like it was, and now nobody's really going to notice if I just kind of slip off into the sunset. May we not allow that happen to any one of our brothers and sisters in Christ here. May we be standing together. May we be working together. May we be looking out for each other. May we have the love and the appreciation and the respect for each other that we should, and may those attitudes be there that need to be there. As I think about this group, I love this group a lot. And I've spent a lot of years with this group so far, more than I ever imagined when I first stepped into the pulpit almost 5 years ago. That's hard to believe it sometimes. And we have seen a lot of changes. They've been changes for the good. They have been changes that I think have helped to build us and strengthen us and make us better than what we were 5 years ago. But I'll tell you something, the challenges don't stop now. The work doesn't stop now. Just because in some of our minds we may feel like we've reached some kind of a peak or some kind of a level, that's not a time to stop. We've got to continue working and striving to grow and to develop as God would have us to. And you know what? We can do that. There's not a reason in this world why we can't. And as we work together, as we look ahead to the future, and as we face the challenges that come, we can overcome them as we work together. And that is my encouragement to us tonight. We're glad that you're here. There are some who are sitting in this audience who aren't Christians. You know what? You need to be. And it doesn't matter whether you become a part of this congregation or some other congregation that is faithfully serving God as they should. You're missing out on being a part of the body of Christ. You're missing out on being a part of the church that Christ died for. And that's tragic. Because when we begin to look at life and we see that life is slowly waning away, as we begin to realize that, we realize that we need to be looking for something that goes beyond what we have here. And what that is found in Jesus Christ. What that is heaven, as we've sung about tonight. And the way that a person becomes a part of that is very simple. It involves believing. It involves repenting of sins that have been committed, and there's not a one of us here who hasn't. It involves confessing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It involves being baptized into water for those sins to be washed away and coming up a new creature. One of God's children. One who is now ready to serve Him. At that point, it involves complete commitment to whatever He wants you to do. And as you look at yourself, you may say, well, I don't know what all He wants me to do. Yeah, you don't. But you're going to begin learning. And you'll begin studying. You'll begin growing and developing as one of His children. And as you read through His Word and you see things that need to be put into place, you're willing to put them into place because back some time ago, you made that commitment that whatever God wanted you to do, you were going to do it. As we look at ourselves at whatever age we are in our service to God, may we realize that there's never a time when we quit. There's never a time when we cease to develop and to grow. The time when we quit growing is the time when we breathe our last breath and we're welcomed home with Him. And may each of us realize the responsibility that we have to be developing and growing in the kingdom of God. What is going to make this church what it ought to be is individual members who are what they ought to be. And we challenge you to do that and to be that and to put into place whatever in your life may need to be put into place in order for you to be pleasing to Him. If you need to come to Jesus Christ, we hope you'll come. We hope you'll come tonight while we stand up and while we sing.